Podcast.
I am one of the few people who think the Patriots are actually going to be really good this year.
Let's go!
Oh, God.
It's me. It's Kevin Wiles.
What a shocker. Surprise.
All right, welcome in to another episode of the R. Bill Simmons podcast, and thank you to Wiser Times for the fantastic intro song. And if you guys have noticed, I've done a bunch of the media analysis pods lately. There's been a lot of interesting things going on. I'll probably have a Netflix analysis of their earnings and them getting into WWE shortly for you guys, but have a guest on the pod, first time in a while. I'm pumped. Bringing on Henry from Twitter. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to doing this these last few weeks. Glad we were able to put some time aside and connect.
Yeah, I'm pumped because we interact a lot on Twitter. And so with all the comments you had, I felt like I had to bring you on. I feel like you're right, somebody who is a very similar perspective on Bill that I am and a bunch of the listeners are, that we've had a long history with this guy. We've seen the trajectory. Yeah. We've seen the effort levels, and it's just not what it once was. So you've got a lot of great perspective there. And that's kind of where I want to start. So you've been a long-term fan. So what does your Bill fanhood go back to?
Yeah, well, you know, I think you really hit the nail on the head. Like, all of this, I guess, for lack of a better term, criticism comes from a place of love. You know, yep. You either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. And Bill is firmly, you know, kind of entrenched in this villain stage for me right now. It's like a lot of hate listening, unfortunately. You know, the history dates back. I think it was my junior year of high school. My mom got me the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball. And I just like was obsessed with that. I was like reading that cover to cover multiple times a year. And then because of that, you know, that was back in like 2010, 2011. So then I went back and like reread all of his page two stuff, got all caught up to that stuff. So I've been, you know, a huge fan of his for the last like 12, 13 years. And, you know, into the Grantland days, as you know, you've kind of illustrated on the pod and on Twitter, like that's kind of a lot of people's peak for Bill Simmons. It was like really where he kind of like crested, as writing was still, you know, pretty solid. The podcasts were awesome. Like, he was getting really interesting guests on, and he was just, you know, pitching 100 miles an hour back then. And then as it kind of transitioned into the Ringer stuff and, you know, the godforsaken Any Given Wednesday, we just started noticing the decline. And at first I was like, like he'll get back to it. Once the show got canceled, I was like, maybe he'll get back into writing. Cause I always thought writing was kind of, that's where you can get out a lot of your ideas and really kind of sift through them. And you really have to, if you're making a point when you're writing, you really have to prove that point and back it up with like at least some sort of research or data or whatever. And the further away he got from writing and the more he got into just kind of podcasting and having his buddies on, it was just like, man, what the fuck am I listening to right now? Like, this doesn't even sound like the same guy. So I still listen to him, you know, I still listen to the pods. I still listen to the rewatchables and stuff like that. But like, I'm finding myself more and more often just kind of turning them off with, you know, 45 hour left in these podcasts.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone. I think a lot of people are doing that. I think a lot of people are shifting listening to the Rosillo pod or other pods like Part of My Take. And now, do you go on the sub at all, the Simmons subreddit?
Yeah. So I actually found out about that through following you on Twitter. So I've been going on the Simmons subreddit, and, you know, it's like being around a bunch of long lost friends where you guys are all kind of sharing a lot of similar ideas. So I definitely go on your Twitter though more than I go on the subreddit, just because I've got the Twitter app. You know, I don't have a Reddit app.
Yeah, it's the and I try to highlight the best of the sub, and some sometimes I'll have screenshots of some of the hilarious posts or posts about. I had one this past week where it got a lot of attention. This Ringer NFL show, people were really saying, "Wow, this is pretty bad," and I was I was shocked that tons of people were chiming in on Twitter. So yeah, I think a lot of people see it there, but the Simmons subreddit really does a good job of, it's a nice companion piece if you are listening, because like you said, and like I do, you're either turning it off shortly or you're hate listening to it. And I would even say hate listening might be strong. It's more of, it's, there's so many comical things from Bill ironically being on the unintentional comedy scale, right? He always used to write about this. He's now very high on this.
Oh my God. He's the highest on it.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that he's on that. But speaking of writing, I looked through some of your old tweets that you had with Simmons. So I was going to bring this up at the end, but you brought it up right here. So I went back to some 2016 tweets.
Oh God.
So these were some of your so these were April 2016, some of your first tweets at Bill Simmons. Do you know what they are? Do you have a
I do guess? Not though. Please fire away.
Okay. So it's two tweets, same subject and same sub-subject. We get at Bill Simmons. I know you shit on Kobe a lot, but I missed the old days when you would have written some piece to honor his career.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. And then the second one right after, at least Kobe had a retirement tour where we could say goodbye, unlike your writing career.
Oh man, I was cooking with gas. That's hilarious. I had just graduated college, and I remember, like, you know, he's obviously diehard Boston fan, has like shit on Kobe a ton. And you know, people in my generation, like a lot of us, you know, Kobe's our favorite player growing up. So that always like kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then I remember like when Kobe retired, he just got on his pod and like shit on him for doing the 60-point game, right? Like Kobe's last game, he shot the ball like 40 or 50 times and dropped 60 points. And like the entire podcast was Bill shitting on that. And I was like, dude, this Lakers team won 17 games. It's Kobe's last game. Everyone there wants to see him put on a show. Like, he did that. Let's talk about how fun that was.
Well, and I think you set up the problem with Bill, and then this is a perfect example. He wouldn't have written that column if Kobe retired. If he was still writing, and he was still writing at the Ringer, I guess, at this point, but he was not writing as proficiently as he had before. So if he was still writing, you know, he's at ESPN.com. He's going to have a front page story because he's Bill Simmons. He would have had a Kobe piece in the works for months. He would have gone back. He would have seen, what did I write in the Book of Basketball entry? What have I written columns over the years? What do I want to add to it? And yeah, maybe at first he would have typed out some snarky stuff about the 60-point game, but he wouldn't have kept that in the final column. Like we've read the Book of Basketball. We know that, yes, he's biased to a degree, but he'll admit that up front in the Book of Basketball about Kareem, about Kobe and whatnot. So yeah, I think you've totally nailed it. This is a perfect example of Bill the podcaster. He is just not on the same level as Bill the writer, which I think a lot of people listening, they might not even know because they didn't read much Bill, but page two Bill throwing 100 miles per hour, that's apex Bill for me.
Correct. 100%. Although one of my favorite like sort of, you know, bits that you've been doing is the like rereadables or whatever. Well, you'll post a screenshot of like a column that he wrote back in 2001. Dude, that fucking Natalie Portman thing is wild. Like how did that get past the editors at ESPN? That is so insane.
It's so good. Yeah, you can ask that for so many things. Yeah, I love And I have fun with that. Like I'll retweet those when I release a podcast because I want to get people, you know, thinking about the account and seeing it for the right. first time. But man, I mean, like it wasn't only one. This was column after column. A lot of porn. I mean, man, I went back and read some of the Book of Basketball recently, and the amount of porn references in that book, mm-hmm. unreal.
Yeah, it's just one after the other. And granted, like when I was, you know, in high school reading that, I thought that shit was like hilarious and super funny. And part of me still kind of does. But at the same time, you're like, man, like this stuff definitely would not be flying in 2024 if you were trying to write that same column. But, you know, the times change. I still am like a huge fan of the writing. And to be frank, I still do reread the Book of Basketball every once in a while. It's kind of a good book to have on the bedside table and just read something before going to bed.
Yeah, it's a legendary book, I would say. I would highly encourage everybody listening who hasn't read it. I mean, if you're mm-hmm. an NBA fan, it's must. It's must have. Because
yeah, you got to read it.
It's a history of the league.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody's written anything comparable, but it's basically what, a 750-page book that's the history of the NBA.
Yeah, it's a legendary book and still holds up, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it totally does. So, all right, so you sent some different topics you wanted to hit on, and these were like totally mm-hmm. right in my wheelhouse as well. So I think we got to dive into them. I think this one's a good one because we're just coming from an NFL weekend where we get the NFL announcers, we get the NFL pregame shows. And so you want to talk about why is Bill Simmons focusing so much on announcers and pregame shows?
Yeah, I mean, so much, like, you know, we can talk on and on about like kind of the downside or, you know, the decrease in quality of his podcasts. But like, I used to go crazy for these Sunday night or now Monday pods that he does with Cousin Sal, the Guess the Line stuff. And now it's like, you just know exactly what they're going to be. It's going to be like 20 minutes of them talking crap about the announcers or Collinsworth or Romo. And it's like, I get it. Like those guys aren't like the best, you know, some things they say are like pretty corny or whatever, but it's like, have we really ever had like just an announcer that is, you know, going 10 for 10 the entire broadcast? It's like, no, it is what it is. Like they're not perfect at their job. They say some campy stuff from time and time again, and it really doesn't bother me. And like the pregame stuff, like who cares if Fox or CBS now has six guys on the show? It's like, are you actually watching that stuff and like hoping to gather something? Like I kind of feel like the only reason people watch the pregame show is to figure out like if any of their players in fantasy are hurt and if they need to make any last minute roster changes. Like when I'm watching football, I'm watching it with like a group of buddies. We're not like, hey, quiet down. The pregame show just started. It's like, it's just kind of on his background noise. I don't understand his like fixation with it.
Yeah, no, that's totally it. It's background noise and it's fantasy purposes. That's exactly how mm-hmm. I utilize it, right? And mm-hmm. I think too, what's interesting about Bill is he does make it very clear, and he did this in the media podcast he did with Lucas Shaw from Bloomberg and then Jimmy Traynor yeah. from SI. He has a very keen sense of sports media. He's following it closely. But then what I don't understand is, why are you being so critical of Fox, especially when mm-hmm. they've literally had the top rated pregame show for 30 straight years over CBS and they typically get over 5 million viewers. And I think CBS is more like 4 million or a little bit less than that. So clearly whatever Fox is doing is working. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I think there's a variety of reasons why it's working. They have good camaraderie. Even Gronk is in there now. He's laughing up with the guys. I think Aaron Andrews and Carissa Thompson are better talents than what CBS has. They have good interviews.
Yeah.
And then I think Schrager is good on that 11 a.m. show. And Edelman's on there too. So there's components of those shows that work. Bill has Schrager on. He could talk to him about it. But yet he just lobs these bizarre haterade at these shows, and I just don't see the point.
Yeah, it's just, and you have raised interesting points where it's like, is part of Simmons' like failed TV career coming out like subconsciously when he's making these criticisms that it's like, if I wasn't good at this, then nobody can be good at this type thing. What I find even more interesting is that like, him and Sal and House and those guys like come up with this FanDuel show before, and they're like, this is what the real football fan needs to be listening to before the game. And it's like, dude, we go through all the entire week of hearing you guys do nothing but gambling. And like, frankly, your gambling picks suck. Like, I don't need to then regurgitate all of what you guys have already covered on Guess the Lines and all these other Ringer podcasts about gambling, that you're just basically saying the exact same thing. Like, I don't really care about that. I'm fine with just listening to, Gronk and the rest of those guys do kind of their comedy bits and break down the game a little bit and like go over the fine points. And that's really it. I'll listen to it, for a few minutes, and then it's like, all right, guys, let's order lunch, or who brought the beer? Or like, it's really not that big of a deal. And maybe I'm in the minority of that. Like, maybe there is a big chunk of people out there that are like really on pins and needles listening to everything that's being covered. But if they are, they're liking it because, as you just said, like the viewers, the numbers don't lie when it comes to that.
No, they don't. And I think people on the sub have made fun of this, where you look at the number of viewers that the Ringer Wise Guy show is getting. What is it, 300 on Twitter? I mean, what the hell is going on with this show?
It's not high. I, have viewed myself as a pretty big Bill Simmons fan, and I watched maybe 2 minutes of that, and I was like, oh God, it's just like Joe House. They're making fun of how much Joe House ate last night. Again, this is really, really moving stuff, guys.
Yeah, it's incredibly strange. I think I agree. I think it is part of his TV failures coming across. And look, if Bill, if Bill's listening, but I mean, the reason I got blocked on Twitter from Bill is because I criticized him on NBA Countdown. I thought Bill was great on NBA Countdown. I think 2013 and 2014 Bill, great NBA Countdown, great NBA draft, good talent. Can't build a show around him. He's got to be a player on it. But he can't be part of a good team. He can be the fourth guy, he could be the walkie guy, basketball historian, fan, whatever. But I think the problem is that he fails to understand the point of these shows, right? So he doesn't understand that Fox doesn't need to be in the weeds on their pregame show. Why is this a what they're doing is working. So Mr. Bill here, and he's the guy that loves giving notes on shows and all this stuff, but it's like, man, I think what they're doing is working, man. Criticize something else.
100%. And it's funny that you mentioned that you got blocked for that, where every other month you hear Bill Simmons on his pod say he doesn't read his replies. Well, he clearly does, and he's clearly like, there are aspects of Simmons that it's like, it's so clear, dude, that you're an only child because you are like just allergic to criticism. And it's like, great, you may love giving notes on other people's shows or documentaries, but like, where the fuck were the notes coming for your show that you were actually listening to, or about your podcast and kind of, how it's falling off in terms of quality? So yeah, it's really just the pot calling the kettle black when he decides to criticize these shows.
Well, and as I'm sure you've seen, I have been very active in saying that I am taking complete and I'm taking complete responsibility for Bill doing YouTube shorts now, because on the podcast with Zach, I think it's Blatter, on episode 54, I believe, that was a fantastic episode. He totally brought it with knowledge of how to build an online brand. And yeah, he had harsh words for the Ringer and Bill. He said, look, man, they're totally foregoing any market share gains in short-term video, and they are just totally throwing away that market. And you know what happens? a week after the pod drops, Bill Simmons suddenly doing YouTube shorts. I don't think that's a coincidence. So, yeah, to your point, there is some constructive criticism he could take to improve his podcast umpire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I know this is one of the topics that we're talking about later, but, like, he always talks about, for the rewatchables, of, like, no, I don't listen. I don't read the comments on that. Why do I care what movie someone else wants me to go over? And it's like, well, like, you know, that is kind of in your best interest to be, like, listening to what your listeners are saying. And it's like, hey, if a lot of people are saying the last few movies that you've done on the rewatchables, like, A, aren't even rewatchable. Like, I don't know how the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks about getting AIDS is rewatchable. That's a good movie. It's a movie you probably want to watch one time because it's so freaking depressing. But, like, how is that a rewatchable? And it's like, you always go into the comments under these pods when he drops them, and everyone is like, this isn't rewatchable. This isn't rewatchable. How have you not done so-and-so movie? And then he'll just be like, nah, I don't listen to that stuff. I don't care about that. It's like, all right, well, to each their own, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm down to get into this right now. So downfall of the rewatchables you want to talk about. And let me set you up, because I have a tweet from you. Bill. Here we go. We got, this is you replying to Bill. It's man, I wish you would do some movies that people like rather than the movies you watch 30 times stoned on your couch in Boston. These last couple movies you've picked up in trash.
I mean, I stand by every word that I said in that, because it's true, man. And it's like, you know, for a while, like, once I thought the Bill Simmons podcast was kind of going down in quality, I was like, well, you know, at least the Rewatchables is still here. And, like, this podcast rocks, like, you know, next to sports, talking about movies, breaking down movies is, like, one of my favorite things to do and, like, read about and listen to podcasts about. But then it's just like the quality's going down, the movies that he's selecting are going down. But then if he like doesn't appear on the episode and like we'll just like leave it to Sean Fennessy and Chris Ryan, like those dudes pick movies that people actually want to hear, and they like really break it down and like bring really interesting ideas and thoughts and, you know, critiques, stuff like that, to these podcasts. And Simmons will just be like, there will be times where Simmons will just like be silent on the podcast, and then he'll just like try and do like some reach of a comparison to the 86 Celtics or to Tom Brady and how that relates to the movie. And it's just like, dude, like, come on, that shit is funny like once in a while, but like it's now becoming like almost like a nervous tick where it's like, if he doesn't have anything to say, he'll just make a stupid comparison to one of those things. And it's like, ah, like, how is that still like your move, your go-to move?
Okay, so I think I always like firsts on this podcast, and I think you have identified why people like the Rewatchables pod for the first time, because I don't listen to the pod, so okay. I'm not a fan of it. I haven't, but what you just said, that this finally got to me. You like the idea of a movie being broken down and analyzed, and so you listen to the pod, but you're not listening because of Bill, is that right? So you're basically listening to a breakdown and analysis and a fun look back of movies, and it just so happens that Bill Simmons is the one to create this popular concept, but you don't necessarily need Bill Simmons himself to be doing this.
Correct. I mean, like, I give him credit. Like, you know, he was the one who started it by doing, you know, like him and Chris Ryan did Heat. Like, that was the first one, I think. Obviously, they've done it multiple times since then. And, like, it was a really interesting concept, you know? And he came up with, like, good topics to discuss, you know, with the most rewatchable scene, like, the overacting award. Like, all of that stuff is, like, funny and creative and good. But when you actually hear him on the podcast, like, it's just like he tries to pigeonhole Sydney Sweeney into every female character, which, like, great, whatever. He'll talk about, like, you know, would this movie have been better if the guy playing this role had done a better Boston accent? And it's like, sure, maybe. What does that really, like, bring to this discussion? Like, and Chris Ryan, you know, I know you said that, like, there aren't a ton of guys on the Ringer that you like. I think one of the reasons why I like Chris Ryan and Sean Fennessy on that podcast is, like, they are really the only ones that will, like, kind of give Simmons some shit or, like, not laugh at one of his stupid jokes or just, like, try and kind of recenter or refocus the conversation, because, like, they are really passionate about that stuff. And passion doesn't mean it can't be without humor, right? Like, that's one of the reasons why I like it. Like, they're funny. They'll make funny jokes about it. They'll, like, weave in interpersonal stories about the first time they saw the movie, but they're still focused on, like, actually breaking something down and, like, discussing something that maybe I haven't heard or thought about. Whereas Simmons is just, like, firing off, like, kind of recycled takes or one-liners. And it's like, come on, man. Like, show a little interest in this. Show that you're actually, like, you know, here to be prepared.
Oh, well, prepared in Simmons does not, that's oil and water here. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But I think you're touching on something that I like exploring, is that ultimately, and this is said in the sub a lot, but ultimately the Rewatchables podcast would be, a lot of those podcasts would be better without Simmons. Is that fair?
Yes.
And so he never does a podcast without him on the Rewatchables, which implies he still wants to be the player, even though being the coach would be better.
Yeah, if he was just kind of like setting them up and letting those guys drive, you know, the bus, so to speak, I think it would be going really, really well, because those guys like Sean and Chris and, you know, Amanda Dobbins and people like that, like, they are paying attention to what people are saying. Like, Chris will make jokes about how Simmons is, like, still doing, like, five for him, one for the fans on the Rewatchables, where it's like really just kind of turned into Bill is going to pick a movie that he watched a bunch when he was a kid or in college. And he wants to talk about that. Whereas, like, it's fine to, I have no problem with old movies. I like old movies from the 80s, from the 90s, stuff like that. But it's okay to, like, you know, bring in some stuff that's a little more modern and a little more, you know, hip to the times. And Simmons is just like, no, this is kind of my personal playground where I can revisit, like, movies from my youth. And that's all it is.
Yeah, which on one hand, you can respect the Podfather for building this podcast empire. And
sure.
Yes, I mean, we're making fun of Bill being critical of successful TV shows. I don't want to sit here and say I'm being critical and making fun of Bill for having a podcasting empire he sold for $200 million. So I'm not, but I do think it is fair to identify some weaknesses, and we're certainly not the only ones identifying that there could be better movies than the Rewatchables. There's a bunch of great movies they haven't done yet, and Bill does not need to be in every one, especially if, and I think you've made a great point, it really is more of a nervous tick at this point going to the old standbys as opposed to actually bringing interesting content that isn't just the old standby that he's doing in every movie.
Correct. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I love listening to the hits, right? Play the hits. But it can't only be that. That cannot be the only thing that you are bringing to the table right now. We've got to, like, because I think that was one of the reasons why, you know, people like you and me and other fans really got into him, where it was like he was able to weave in a certain sense of humor with, you know, actual interest in the topic that he was either writing about or discussing about, and researching it and providing some level of background. Whereas now it's just like he can't be bothered to even, like, read the Wikipedia page about the movie that he's discussing.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. So then, okay, so why don't we transition here to, in the spirit of Bill Simmons not doing his research, another topic of discussion. What's worse these days, his NFL takes or his NBA takes?
Yeah, good question. So I was re-listening to some of the pods, and I think he still gets up for the NBA more. And you know, he's willing to bring on, even though like I find Doc Rivers to be like whatever, Doc Rivers comes on and kind of makes Bill step his game up because Doc can really talk about basketball and like break stuff down. And if you're not, coming to play, then it's just going to be an awkward pod. So I think Bill gets up for these NBA pods more. I don't necessarily agree with all of his takes, but the NFL takes, it's like he literally, like when we're listening to the Guess the Lines, I think within the first 25 minutes, he compared the Chiefs to the 06 Pats literally four times. And it's just like, okay, we get it, we get it. But like, let's break down the game. We just watched an insane Chiefs Bills game where like you're watching the two best quarterbacks arguably go blow for blow with each other, and you're just still making this comparison. Like, sure, it's not a very talented Chiefs team. We get that. So I think both of his takes are bad right now, to be honest, but I think he can still kind of go back to the fountain of youth a little bit more when he's doing these NBA pods compared to these NFL pods. And a lot of that has to do with the guests that he's bringing on. And I also just think kind of he's a bigger fan of the NBA than he is NFL. He likes gambling on the NFL. He liked the NFL when Brady and the Pats were winning all those Super Bowls. But now that they're not, it's like he really only cares about the gambling aspect, it seems like. Whereas the NBA, he can still kind of tap into that historian, like kind of seeing the bigger picture. Yeah, I would tend to say his NBA takes are a little bit better because his NFL takes are just like, they're not based in reality.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've only known Simmons when the Patriots have been good. So he starts in 2001, incredible, Tom Brady, all that stuff. So we had the sustained run of excellence. But as we know with Bill and the Red Sox, Bill Simmons once wrote a Red Sox book. Now, he didn't do much new material. It was a collection of columns he was writing at the time from 99 to 04, but ultimately, really fun book. The columns that he wrote are from the heart. They're good analysis. They're researched. They're interesting. They're fun. There are stories there about him going all the games. So we know that. But, is fair weather fan too aggressive? Maybe. But I called him a pink hat Red Sox fan, as he once did. He made that up himself, and now we can throw it back at him, but he's barely following MLB anymore. So I think your point about him being interested in the NFL only for gambling is a great one because the Pats aren't good. I don't think he cares that much about watching the games, except for the gambling piece. And all we're hearing in these Guess the Lines is gambling stories and fantasy stories. No actual analysis. I mean, man, if you're looking for actual NFL analysis, you're getting nothing in these Guess the Lines pod. And I'm sorry, and people could say, oh, you're just a hater of Bill and whatnot. And I say, no, what I'm about to say, I'm not hating on Bill, and I'm giving Bill credit for being better before. I think he used to do better research. I really do. I think Guess the Lines, it was shorter, it was quicker, it was faster paced. It was no intro. It was 5 minutes a game. And it was, hey, interesting teams. Here's a couple interesting things. Here's what I think the line should be. Oh, maybe it's off, and here's why and whatnot. It wasn't what it is now. And I'm not the only one saying this because there was a post today, and I retweeted this from the account I screenshotted. People are fed up with Guess the Lines now because it's too much gambling. It's not enough analysis. And yeah. He actually understands some of how the NBA game works. I don't think he even really knows how the NFL game works.
No, he definitely does not. And it's like he'll send out tweets where it's like, are we even watching the same game? And he'll like criticize a coach for going for two or whatever. And it's like, you're only doing this because this is affecting the spread that you gambled on. And, you know, if he goes for two compared to going for one, it's going to impact however you bet on that. And it's just like, you're right. The Guess the Line pods, you know, it was always backed by guessing the line. So there was always some form of gambling, but they used the line to like tell the story of what they thought was going to happen in the game, or talk about certain players in that game, or kind of try and pinpoint or paint a picture of what's happening in the NFL season. And you're absolutely right. Now all it is like, here's what I think the line is. Oh no, the line should be that. This is the tic-tac zone, man. And it's like, okay, are we going to like talk about the game? Are we going to like recap, you know, what happened this most recent week? You know, you guys criticize so much about these pregame shows not really covering anything. Like, you're really not covering anything of any substance.
No. And yeah, so to your point, I think, yes, he can still get up for the NBA. But I do think there are some NBA blind spots. So
yeah.
I will go to another one of your tweets. This is from 2017. And I don't actually know what this totally was in reference to, so maybe you can remember it, but you tweeted at him and you said, I know you're KD's guy, but old Bill Simmons would certainly have some strong opinions on his super strange offseason. I think this was early 2017.
So, okay, I do remember what that's from. And this comes into like kind of where I get super annoyed with Bill on the hypocrisy stuff. Cause like when I really stopped like loving Bill's work, like I still listen to it, but when I was like, like I'm starting to notice signs of slippage, was when he did all of those podcasts with KD the year after, the summer after they won the KD's first title with the Warriors, right? And you know, it's just like he was so kiss-assy, and it was like then he just completely stopped criticizing Kevin Durant, where it's like, okay, you know, if a guy wants to go, you know, compete for titles and he wants to join the best team, like that's the whole point of free agency. But you eviscerated LeBron, and I'm not even like a huge LeBron fan, right? But you eviscerated LeBron when he went to Miami to join up with D-Wade and Bosh. And yes, he joined up with two all-stars, but that Miami team before those guys showed up was like an 8 seed. I think they won like 43 games. Like they were pretty shitty. Durant joined a 73-win team and got zero criticism from Bill. Bill never criticizes the fact that, you know, KD is now basically going from super team to super team, always seems unhappy, doesn't really seem to be like much of a leader, doesn't really seem to be able to like galvanize these teams to play up to their potential. The only time we've seen him win is when he joined a ready-made finals contender that had won a title before he showed up and that has since won a title after he has left. Durant hasn't gone to the conference finals since he left. But Bill Simmons, it's like he only treats him with kitty gloves. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the podcast or whatever. But Simmons does this whole thing where he, like, is a gatekeeper for how basketball is supposed to be played. Right? That was so much of what the Book of Basketball was about, like the secret, right? The secret that he heard from Isaiah Thomas of the right way to play the basketball game. That's why the 86 Celtics are the best team and yada, yada, yada. And that's why he doesn't like Kobe. It's like, okay, first of all, you know, there's a lot of ways to skin a cat, right? Not every team can play like the 86 Celtics. And I get you like Durant because he's like this efficiency monster who you can kind of put into any situation and he'll produce. But like so much of what you talk about with the secret, do you think fucking Kevin Durant knows the secret of basketball? This guy seems miserable. But Simmons, it's just there's no criticism. There is no problem here. So I think that's kind of what that tweet was referencing.
So couldn't agree more. Bill would have crucified anybody else for the 73-9 move. And he didn't with KD. And obviously we know he did all those pods with him. So I want to do a live reading of the Book of Basketball on the pod.
Yes.
I have it up. And we're in the pyramid section. We're in the Pantheon, the penthouse, where Bill goes, take a deep breath. We're at the top of the Hall of Fame pyramid, literally and figuratively. These are the 12 greatest players of all time, the best of the best, the Pantheon. And so, obviously, Bill says the Pantheon now, and it'd probably be bigger than 12 because there's other guys that would be up there. But remember how Bill consistently, he was pushing KD top 10 for a while.
Yes.
And if KD's top 10, he's in the Pantheon, so he's level 5, right? Level 1 is like 96, and then it goes to level 5, the top 12. So he's level 5, he's Pantheon. But now let's do this. What are the top characteristics for being in the Pantheon or just generally highly ranked, according to Bill? Number one, it's how well did he grasp the secret? So that's right up there with KD. Number two, he says a few things, but in short, would you want to be in an NBA foxhole with him? Not quite sure we can say that about KD.
No.
We also get number three. Would he have been not so fun, semi-fun, fun, or super fun to play with? Can't be saying KD's teams are having that much fun recently. And then here's where I think here's the biggest case against KD and ultimately against Bill Simmons as a NBA analyst and personality right now. Number four, did he get traded at any point in his prime? If so, why? This doesn't matter as much with level one or level two, but I need a really good reason to forgive trading level three, four, or five guy in his prime. So that says it right there.
Yeah, I mean, you really just nailed you hammered the nail on the head, right? That KD, you could make an argument, doesn't grasp any of those, you know, four or five topics to get into the Pantheon. Yet all Simmons talks about is like, oh, he's the greatest scoring small forward, right? You can plug and play him in any situation. And it's like, you know, eventually, like, if you're this good, why haven't you been to a conference finals since you left the Golden State Warriors? Like, the Warriors proved that they could win with Harrison Barnes as their small forward, with Andrew Wiggins as their small forward. And obviously, yeah, you're a lot better than all those guys. I think Durant is, you know, a top 20 guy. But how positively he talks about Durant, where how negatively in the past he would talk about Kobe, even like today, where it's like everything with LeBron is a backhanded compliment. And it's like, come on.
Always with LeBron. And what I love, I called him out on Twitter for this. What I loved about his recent KD talk, he's like, this is a couple pods ago. He's like, man, I can't believe what's happening with the Suns. This is the final straw. If this Suns situation doesn't work out well, I'm dropping down the rankings. And it's like, bro, where the fuck you been?
Seriously. First of all, your Bill Simmons impression is pretty solid, man. Second of all, yeah, it's like he comes up with these rules to, you know, get in the Pantheon, get in the Book of Basketball, but then when they don't fit his narrative that he's already assigned to a player, like suddenly the entry, or you know, the barrier for entry is removed for them, but it's like enhanced for other people. And you know, he talks all the time about like how LeBron is like kind of like the master manipulator and is the GM of his own teams, which, you know, I agree with to a certain extent, but like at least the teams that LeBron is putting around himself like are winning. He's won four titles and he's done it with a bunch of different guys. And yeah, he, you know, tries to stack the deck to certain degrees, but I mean, has LeBron ever played on a team as talented as that Nets team with freaking James Harden and Kyrie Irving in the backcourt? And they couldn't get out of their own way. Like, Durant's not a leader. You can't control any of these guys. They're all flying off the reservation. And it's like, oh, but, you know, we can't hold Durant accountable for that. It's like, you know, if you're going to hold LeBron accountable for certain things like that, hold Durant accountable for hitching his wagon to nutcases like Kyrie, and also not being able to make those situations work. It just doesn't add up.
No. Well, and let's transition to officially talking his overall hypocrisy, because that's another one we want to hit on, because the hypocrisy levels are at all-time highs with Bill Simmons. It's insane. And I do want to give you – I want to lead off with another tweet of yours. So we've got – I think this is from 2022. Bill is insisting the Celtics need to hire Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
I don't really even know the situation at hand. I'm not remembering. I'm not an NBA head to remember exactly what was going on. But so your response was – lol, all I remember is you shitting on him when he was the Lakers coach. Now he's a, quote, terrific coach. You were a 10 out of 10 on the unintentional comedy scale.
Man, I was really cooking with gas on a lot of these old tweets. Yeah, I mean, the hypocrisy stuff, like, it's as clear as day, right? Like, everyone sees it now. The coach, like the Kristaps Porzingis stuff, it just drives me insane. Like, when Porzingis was on the Mavs, right, it was, this guy is soft, this guy doesn't have a post-up game, you know, he's basically a taller Steve Novak, you just want to put him in the corner, he's lost a step. And now he's calling Porzingis like the Celtics skeleton key, and that perhaps behind Tatum he's their most important player. And it's like, I get it. You know, when you watch a guy, you know, time and time again up close, like, he probably watches all the Celtics games, you can learn to appreciate players. But it's like, he comes out with such hot takes and then obviously says he's not a hot take guy, right? But then the minute, like, a player or a coach is linked to his team, then it's like he has amnesia, where all of his old statements about them, all of his old pods, articles, tweets about that person suddenly don't apply. Like, the Frank Vogel stuff, he shitted so hard on Frank Vogel when Vogel was a Lakers coach. And then I think he got linked to the Celtics once they had to get rid of Ime Udoka. And, you know, Simmons hates Joe Mazzulla, so he's like, let's get in Frank Vogel, he'll be good to go. And it's like, I thought you said this guy can't coach, you know? And the Celtics hypocrisy, whether it has to do with a player or a coach or really anything related to them, it's just like, that's where his hypocrisy really shines through. And then obviously we all witnessed firsthand this year with the Patriots, where he calls his shot before the season. Patriots are making the playoffs. He laughed at Jacoby when Jacoby said he'd rather have Tua than Mac Jones as a quarterback, right? He was so confident. The Patriots have had one of the best drafts I can remember. They nailed the draft. 3 weeks in, he's like, this team doesn't have it. Like, I'm really hoping we bottom out. Let's tank for Caleb Williams. And then as soon as they, like, win a few other games, he's like, we got to bring Belichick back. And it's like, you literally have selective amnesia. And it's like, you can't even remember what you were saying last week about this team. So it's just tiresome. And I get it. Like, you're entitled to change your own opinion. But it's like, he comes out so hot and so confident in his take. And then it's like, how are we not supposed to react when all of a sudden you're flip-flopping immediately?
Yeah, it's unreal. And it would be one thing if he went back and admitted it, right? And it would be like the Patriots take. Look, just come out, you're a homer, fine. But that's why I have the intro of this podcast with that quote, because it was so incredible that he was legitimately arguing for that. We also had I've been tweeting out some clips from the summer when he was really high on Scoot, and he goes, It's a fucking fact that Scoot is going to be better than LaMelo Ball. It's like, all right, man, you are Skip Bayless. You are Stephen A. Smith. And that's
Yes.
just what it is. So don't act like you're not.
Correct. I mean, yeah, I've been I always chuckle when you retweet that about the Scoot Henderson thing. Because, like, A, the only time now he even mentions Scoot Henderson on the pod is he'll be like, if you're selling your Scoot Henderson stock, I'm buying. I'm not giving up on him. And it's like, we all know why he's so high on Scoot. It's because he was like an executive producer on that G League
Yes.
documentary that was on Amazon. And Scoot was the star of that. And like, I watched it. He was a good interview. He's like, seems like a hardworking guy. I don't think it's out of the question that he bounces back and like has a productive, good NBA career. But it's like, that's the reason why you're dick riding this guy so hard is he was in your documentary that you sold to Amazon.
Was that documentary good?
It had moments, right? Like it offered like a nice glimpse into kind of the day in the life for G League players, and it showed a guy like Scoot, who's like, super highly touted and everyone knows is on the fast track to the NBA, but it also kind of shed light on the guys who are kind of hanging on by the fringes and are just kind of hoping for like a call up. So it was interesting. I wouldn't like go out of my way to watch it. Just NBA and basketball are like by far my favorite sport, so I gave it a go.
Okay. Yeah, no, that is fun.
Yeah.
It's just yeah, I hadn't realized that as much. But then even see, it was funny because in that clip, no, actually it's not in that clip. It's in the post when people talk about that clip. Apparently, Bill, he says in the podcast, he goes, "I watched 4 minutes of Scoot in the G League." Or
Right.
no, I watched 4 minutes in Summer League, and that was enough to let me know this guy is going to be a superstar. It's like, bro, what? 4 minutes of a game? Come
It's
on.
insane, but like he still views himself as this like speaker and seeker of truth, what especially when it comes to basketball, where it's like, I've got the eye, I can see that, and it's like, dude, you can't. Honestly, like we can go through all your old articles, all your old pods. You've been wrong a lot, just like everybody is. And he's always saying he's not a hot take guy, right? And he wants to get off. Like you've really nailed the NBA hamster wheel thing, where he gets back from his, 5 week long summer vacation, and he basically makes a declaration of, A, I've done a lot of NFL research. Well, a lot of that research, went in the toilet by week four. And B, I'm not going to do the NBA hamster wheel thing. I'm so sick and tired of talking about where Dame Lillard is going to be traded. And now he's doing, if the Charlotte Hornets called up Golden State Warriors and offered LaMelo Ball and four picks, don't aggregate me. And it's like, don't aggregate you. We're going to aggregate you and tell you this is the stupidest idea I've heard about the NBA. NBA this year. Like, what are you talking about, dude? This is the definition of NBA hamster wheel.
This dude's fucking addicted to the hamster wheel. I mean, come on,
Oh
like,
my God,
come
dude.
on.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's totally insane. Now, so this kind of relates to this. I found this funny, and I hadn't heard this in a while, so it got me thinking. So you had a tweet. I think it was from, yeah, it was from May 2022. So I think it must have been Miami must have been playing the Celtics in a champion in a finals or Eastern whatever or some playoff series, and you go, so this is Bill tweets the following. Bill says, "Miami is smart. They turned it into a football game and it worked. Celtics couldn't handle it." And you respond, "What the fuck does that even mean?" But like, have you ever heard Bill say the Celtics turned it into a football game? No, it's always the opposing team somehow turned a basketball game into a football game. We have no idea what it means. It probably means they were just more physical, but you could just say that. But so sometimes Bill's Celtics lose because they unfortunately played football games and not basketball games against the opposing team.
Yeah, like the Heat turned it into a football game. It's like, great analysis, man. Like, thanks for breaking that down. It's like, I don't know. He just, honestly, he seems like tired and bored. And like, it's sad because like, we really, and you don't need to keep saying that, like, I'm not trying to shit on Bill. Like, it's okay. Like, we're calling him out. We were huge fans, and he's not producing like what he's capable of. How he used to, and I get it. It's like, dude, if I sold my company for $200 million, like I don't know if I'd be able to, you know, put in the hours like I used to before that. And that's fine. But then it's like, then maybe take a step back from how much you're putting out and really focus more on, you know, quality than quality as opposed to quantity. Right. But then again, like that kind of gets into what's his contract like with Spotify, you know, how many podcasts is he required in that contract to come out with, you know, on a monthly, yearly basis? We don't know. But he honestly just seems bored.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally right. I think that's the disconnect potentially of, because me and you were sitting here going, why is this man doing three podcasts a week where even two a week, probably pushing it? He's also doing an hour and a half per podcast, at least sometimes 2 hours, way too much. And so I agree with you. I think it is the contract. And I think it's, he was only able to sell the company for $200 million because he agreed to a 5-year employment contract to produce X podcasts. Fine, get it. He's monetized. But I think it's going to be really interesting post Spotify contract, seeing if he still does three a week or if he does something else. But this can transition to the final big topic we wanted to hit, which was Ringer employees, who's good, who isn't. So yeah. I want to get your perspective on that, and then also view it through the lens of, who do we think Bill might bring with him in a new venture if he decides to leave Spotify?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because I think, as both you and I can attest to, for a while when we first got started, it was just Simmons, right? He was a writer on Page 2, and we were really big fans of his. And then when he started Grantland, I was like, kind of blown away by the talent of a lot of the people on Grantland. And again, he didn't have to develop a lot of that talent, right? So like guys like Jonathan Abrams, I thought is like an incredible writer. I have some of his books, like huge fan. Chuck Klosterman, I'm a huge fan of Chuck Klosterman's work. So I thought that when he started up The Ringer, it was like, okay, some of these guys are going with him, which is cool. And I think kind of my naivety, I was like, well, he developed these people at Grantland. He can, you know, kind of catch lightning in a bottle twice and really develop these people at The Ringer. That hasn't been the case, as we know. So of the guys that I like, you know, I'm a CR head. I like Chris Ryan a lot. I think he's like very entertaining, and he watches a lot of the same shows, a lot of the same movies, and kind of has a similar perspective on those. So I'm a huge fan of Chris Ryan. I like Mallory Rubin. And obviously, I like Russillo, right? Outside of that, like the young football guys that he has, like Steven Ruiz honestly should like get his journalism credentials yanked from him. Because that quarterback list that he has, I don't know if he's doing it for engagement, right? That's what I'm always debating. It's like, does he actually think Geno Smith is the 7th best quarterback in the NFL? Above Tua, above Purdy, above all these other guys. Like, does someone actually think that Geno Smith is the 7th best quarterback? And he's a guy, you know, Steven Ruiz is a guy who's just constantly moving the goalposts of, you know, well, Purdy, you know, puts up these numbers, they win all these games, but, you know, I watched the tape, right? That's his favorite saying is, I watched the tape, and he's not moving the needle like these other guys are. It's like, okay, fine, but he's certainly not the 23rd best quarterback where you had him for a lot of the season. So I think he's. I wonder if Simmons is kind of morphing into. I think the Ringer is struggling. I want my guys to be a little more hot takey for engagement, right? I wonder if that kind of goes through his head when he is giving these guys a platform like a Steven Ruiz, like a Ben Solak, who I think Solak is better, right? He at least supplies it with like some interesting breakdowns, and I don't always agree with him, but you can't always argue with the logic that he's talking about. Kevin O'Connor, I think, has to go down as like one of his biggest failures, though. It was so clear when the Ringer started that he was trying to make KOC into the next Zach Lowe. He gave him, it was very clear that he was like setting him up with a lot of his connections. He was telling him to go to these games, get in the locker rooms, interview these guys. I just don't think Kevin O'Connor is like a very talented writer, and I don't think he's like particularly great on the podcasts either. But he also has morphed into kind of a hot take guy where everything's got to have a take. And it's like, it's okay. You don't always have to do these like long formed breakdowns of whatever game or whatever player you're analyzing, but not everything needs to have a, this guy is the future and here's why, or this guy is a bust and here's why. It's like you can just talk, right? You can just talk about the game or talk about the player without that. So, sorry, I just kind of went on a tangent there, but I would say of the guys that I like, it's really kind of Chris Ryan, it's Mallory Rubin, and it's Russillo, and I can sort of get behind a few other people every once in a while, like Fennessy, I kind of like. On the rewatchables. But that's really it. It's a pretty barren roster, in my opinion.
I think you're totally right. And what you said about KOC, that reminded me, because this has been a topic in the sub very frequently. And there was a post that was in, I think, May 23 about what happened to Kevin O'Connor.
Right.
When Kevin O'Connor was on the come up, he was advertised as a new thinking analyst with a perspective and real thoughts about how to evaluate the game. For the past year or so, I felt like the quality of KOC's content has changed from analyst slash insider, whose job it is to tell me, the average fan, what's going on and why things are happening, to guy who throws out ideas and talks about things we can all see.
Right.
So that's pretty much exactly what you've said. This is what you're saying. People are online are saying this in the sub on Twitter, and the person finishes this up and says, yes, the Ringer was never going to find a Zach Lowe to fill the shoes of Zach Lowe, but whoever's editing at the Ringer needs to have a conversation with Kevin about his work product instead of Bill just telling Kevin not to listen to what people say online. To
Yeah.
which then I screenshotted that and I said, my take is that Bill wanted KOC to become the evolutionary Zach Lowe, gave him the resources to do so. KOC never stepped up, instead, he actually regressed. And ultimately, KOC is a homeless man, Zach Lowe, a quad A minor leaguer who could never succeed in the majors. And unfortunately, that's KOC. I don't think there's a ton of great talent at the Ringer. And partly that's because that a lot of the good talent leaves for whatever reason. They get more money or they can be more creative elsewhere. People were saying, yeah, Robert Mays had a good football pod and he left. So
Kevin
there's
Clark.
a lot of departures. Yeah. Think about that. Think about Mays and Clark used to be the football guys. And who are they now? It's Ruiz. So what happened?
No, it's spot on. So to like answer your question of who do I think is going to kind of come with them, right? On the next endeavor. I think Russillo is gone. Like I know we both saw that tweet today where like some guy tweeted out that like Simmons and Russillo have had a falling out.
That's
I'm not really
hilarious.
sure how accurate that is.
I do think that's fake news, but I just retweeted it for fun.
But I definitely don't think Russillo is going to go with him. Like it wouldn't shock me if Russillo kind of wants to go back to TV somehow related. Like if he goes back to like
if he goes to FS1. I know him and Colin Cowherd have a pretty solid relationship, but and he's also done a lot of stuff with like the Barstool guys, so maybe he does something with Barstool. I'm not really sure. But in terms of who goes with him, I think Chris Ryan and Sean Fantasy do. I think Mallory Rubin does, and kind of some of those day one Ringer employees that kind of helped him get the website off the ground will go with him. But like, what in your opinion? Because that's one thing that I appreciate, you know, listening to your pods and following you on Twitter is you're very interested in kind of the behind the scenes business aspect of what's going on in media. So in your opinion, based off of, you know, research, hearing what you hear and kind of just observing which way the wind is blowing, what do you think is kind of the next move for him?
Yeah, I appreciate hearing that. And I do. I both work in the industry and I find it very fascinating. So I'm like, it's totally to my wheelhouse, which is why I like doing the pod. Yeah. So I discovered this recently on a podcast with like How I Built This or something. Bill, mm-hmm. It was Earth 23, and Bill said he's got I think he's got a year. He's got 2 years left in his contract. So I believe his contract's up 2025. That would imply a 5-year employment contract. I'm assuming the website was a package deal, because otherwise I look out at the sports media and I'll drop sports. I look out at the media landscape. Websites are not making that much money, especially if they're free. Right. Digital ads, it's not doing it. So podcasts can fine, but even podcasts are struggling with there's been all those articles with Spotify overpaid, they're not making money, all that stuff. So I think the website's probably toast once the contract's up. And then I think Bill's gonna have to make a call, because what I've talked about in this pod is I've never gotten the concept of the podcast stable. So a company that just buys up a bunch of podcasts and podcasters, because like Bill Simmons, if he's a free agent, he can choose to go to Spotify, sure. But if Spotify doesn't offer him the money that he thinks that he deserves, he'll just go out on his own. And yeah, you got to hire some producers or whatnot, and you've got to sell ads. But I think increasingly there's services out there that make it easy for you to do that. You don't have to do it yourself. Like JJ Redick, when he goes out, he has people helping him out with video clips, all this different stuff. So Bill's gonna have to make a call. Does he stay at Spotify, where per those Wall Street Journal articles and different things, Spotify is going to start going for a lower guaranteed salary, but more potential to share in the revenue if the podcasting advertising does well, or he goes out on his own again. And, you know, part of me thinks he might be miffed at Spotify offering him less than he thinks he might expect. And then he might go out on his own. And if he does go out on his own, like you said, bring some of your core guys. I mean, my take when he left ESPN is I thought he should have done a very pared down version of Grantland. You get Bill, you get some guys like Chris Ryan, Bill's writing, Bill's doing the podcast. Maybe you do subscription for it. I don't know. But basically you keep your overhead very low and then have some very good podcasts. And then you sell that or you distribute that. So maybe after he got the bag, the 200 milli, he's sitting pretty. After he does that, maybe he does the more condensed version. And I think he likes hearing himself talk. He likes having he likes people wanting to hear him talk, which I would too. I do sure. myself doing the pod. So I like doing that. Bill has a big influence. So I think he'll like the influence. I think he'll want to keep doing the pod. But as we've discussed today, he doesn't have to do 3 pods. So can Bill give up some money and do a few less pods in a better setting? Yes, I think he can.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if the Malibu real estate market will be able to recover if Simmons gives up some money. You know, But I definitely think that's the in the best interest of like the product itself. I think he honestly kind of needs to go back to the drawing board, and I wouldn't say reinvent, because like he definitely doesn't need to do that, right? We know what he's good at, but I think he kind of he needs to get that spark. He needs to be inspired, and honestly, maybe like a kick in the ass where he realizes Spotify doesn't want to give him, you know, a huge bag again will be kind of the wake up call that he needs, or kind of reinvigorate that competitiveness in him that, you know, frankly kind of made him legendary. Like he was competitive. He was spiteful. He took slights personally. And a lot of that times it like brought out some of his, you know, most interesting articles or most entertaining podcasts where he was, you know, growling and had something to prove. So it will be very interesting to see kind of what the next step is. I just don't know if he wants to, like, you know, he's not an old man, but he's in his like early to mid 50s. It's a lot to build up another company. So I wonder if he's going to be looking more to go someplace where they can do the heavy lifting and he can go back to being the talent, as opposed to, you know, being the guy who gets this company off the ground.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And frankly, to use some Bill phrases, he needs some nobody believes in this energy to hook himself up to the rejuvenation machine. I mean, that's what
very he much needs. So.
He needs the re-apex, because like you said, and we've talked about it on this pod a lot, is that, you know, he was at his best when his back was up against the wall. It's us versus them mentality. First, he was writing against ESPN when he was at Digital City Boston. And then even when he was at ESPN, he was always fighting the man, right? It was always ESPN censoring me. They're taking jokes out of my column. Like, I'm not like these big wig ESPN personalities like a Stephen A or like the guys on Countdown. Then he obviously goes to Countdown. But yeah, that kind of Simmons with an edge. We need the edge back, because the edge is fucking gone. And I don't know where it went. It's buried in the backyard in the guest house of his Malibu deep house. You know, that's where the edge is. He's got to find it again. And once he finds it, I will certainly come on this podcast and say Simmons is feeling it. I will. Yeah. I call fair game. And I do. No. You on Twitter, I'll say if the pod's good,
for sure. And I think part of it kind of has to do with, like, I think he's just kind of afraid to take a risk now. And I think, you know, we're not going to play armchair psychologists here, but like I often wonder if, you know, the downfall and the lack of success that HBO show had kind of spooked him, and he was like, okay, I'm just going to go back to kind of my safe spot of, I can do these podcasts. I'll have, you know, Joe House. I'll have Cousin Sal come on. I'll do a little bit of writing, but now he doesn't even do that. And, you know, one thing that you like really nailed was he used to have guests on that you really had to bring your A game for. And that meant doing research, coming prepared. You couldn't just be doing these like off the cuff conversations, which there's a time and a place. Sometimes I really like the off the cuff and kind of the carefreeness, but I also want, you know, I miss the old Simmons, the guy who could write a 2000 word article and really break down and encapsulate NBA player's career, or break down what's happening in the NFL season. And I think he just was like, you know what? I got the check. This show didn't go well. I don't want to deal with kind of the embarrassment of falling on my face in front of the world again. So I'm playing it safe. And playing it safe can take you far, but it can't necessarily keep people interested and coming back for more. And like, I laugh when he did that podcast. I can't remember. It was somebody else's podcast though. You had like posted the link about, you know, the digital world or digital media going on right now is somewhat recently. And the guy who was interviewing asked him, like, you know, how are you feeling? Do you feel like slowing down? And he's like, no, I still think, you know, I got it. And the listeners are backing that up. I'm getting more listeners now than ever before. And it's like, dude, you don't still have it. You need to be hooked up to the rejuvenation machine. You need to like get that edge, get that spark back. Cause this isn't it. This is, we are firmly entrenched in like, I wouldn't even say Michael Jordan on the Wizards, because MJ could still put up 50 on the Wizards. He's like Magic Johnson playing in those like old retired player, you know, games that they would have on All-Star Weekend, where he was fitting his 300-pound body into a tight Lakers jersey, where it's like, this is just embarrassing though.
I know. It's rough. It's fucking rough. So I was looking back at some of our interactions. Do you remember the first time that we interacted on Twitter?
I do not.
Okay, so it was I posted a tweet. I said this is a episode from May 2023. We asked the guest why he still listens to post Apex Bill Simmons, and then somebody responded, "What years were Apex Simmons?" And then you responded, "He'd been living in LA since 2002, but yeah, when the Book of Basketball dropped, that was his apex." And then I said, "As a writer, agreed." And I said, "I think his absolute apex, and I stand by this, is NBA draft night, because you had Grantland rolling, Bill was cooking that night, you had NBA countdown going, BS report was humming, and his writing was post apex, but it was still good, still a juice."
Yeah, I would. Was that the NBA draft where him and Doc Rivers kind of got into it?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, if we're talking like total career apex, where you've got the most juice, like you're still a good writer, good podcaster, decent on TV, I would 100% agree with that, because you hit the nail on the head. If he is a supporting player on TV, he can be kind of entertaining and quirky. But when he is the one where the main camera is on him and he's responsible for carrying a 30-minute show, it's just awkward, right? Like, a lot of guys aren't good for TV, and that's fine. Like, everyone's got their strengths. He is weird on that HBO show. I remember, like, I just graduated college and I had like moved in with my buddy back in downtown Chicago, and I was like, dude, like, you know, I know you're not a huge fan. I really love Bill Simmons. Like, let's watch the premiere episode together. Man. And he's like, okay. We put it on, and he turns to me. He's like, dude, we're never fucking watching this again.
God, I know. It was so freaking bad, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so here's another one. This is from June 2023. Okay, so there's two things in here. So, first of all, you very much dislike Kuralla Bob. Is this still true?
One of my least favorite Bill Simmons guests ever. Okay,
so what's your problem with H Bob?
Just very pompous, right? Everything that he says is correct. Don't you dare challenge me on this. And it's just like, there's just this, I think a lot of good podcasting that I like, and a lot of good, you know, TV shows, is there's give and take. It's people playing off each other. He cannot play off anybody. It's here's what I believe. If you disagree with this, you're an idiot. And he'll like throw people under the bus. And it's like, dude, like, if I met you at a party, I'd, you know, turn my back and try and go talk to somebody else. Like, I just think he's an asshole.
So my slight counter to that would be, but he's countering Bill.
So yeah.
So he's throwing it back to Bill, who's just like that too.
Right. So he will, and you're right about that. He will push back on Simmons and kind of do a double take and like be like, Bill, what does that even mean? I like that aspects of it. But like when he was getting on and like talking about why he stopped working for the Dallas Mavericks, and it's because like, you know, he was right about all these analytic things and the team wouldn't get behind him and yada, yada, yada. It's just like, come on, man. Like, you're not right about every single thing, and stop presenting yourself as this. I also couldn't stand the crypto stuff. Like when Bill would just give him, you know, like 15 minutes to talk about crypto, and Haralaba would be so condescending of why anybody would question at all why crypto may not be, you know, a viable investment strategy for people. And he was just so condescending about it. And I was like, ah, fuck this. Like, I disagree, right? I'm by no means a finance expert, but like, I can tell you one thing, I'm not hitching my wagon and all of what I have to freaking crypto. And I think the market has played out that way. But he's another guy that just moves the goalposts when it comes to like that.
Yeah, totally fair. I agree with a lot of that. But I think for me, what outweighs that is he is one of the best at pushing back against Bill. So I think I think that's the reason. Yeah, that's the reason that it outweighs it for me. Now, in that conversation, too, we were talking about how HBob used to rip coaches, and now Bill rips coaches more than he used to do. So you said this, and I think this is useful for today with Griffin being fired from Milwaukee. You said, I would pay good money to see Bill have to coach one NBA game. A team should just let him do it in the preseason just to shut him up.
Yeah. Cause it's like, you know, he's got all the right answers when it comes to coaching in the NBA and coaching in the NFL. Like, he'd spend so much time making fun of these coaches for, you know, not calling a timeout at a certain point or kind of botching the 2-minute warning. And it's like, my God, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I think more often than not, these people are better equipped to do this job than you are. And it's the same thing of watching sports, right? How often do you see an NBA player just consistently shoot 100% from the field, or a quarterback complete 100% of their passes, or even in a day-to-day person like my job? Like, you know, we make mistakes. Sometimes some of our calls are wrong, but he is like so adamant that like all of these coaches are idiots. And I call me crazy. I disagree. I think most of the time these coaches are pretty qualified. There are some cases of having horrendous coaches, but I don't think like the coaching in the NBA and the NFL is nearly as bad as he makes it out to be.
No, and I think wasn't the perfect example of this Kevin Stefanski this year when beginning of the season, Bill saying he's costing the Browns all these games and he's a terrible coach and all this stuff, and then by the end of the year, miraculously, Bill loves him for Coach of the Year. It's like, Bill, he was the same guy the entire year.
He was. I'm so glad you brought that up. He was hating on Stefanski. He said Stefanski was on the hot seat. And it's like, okay, he may or may not be on the hot seat. I'm not sure. But he won Coach of the Year and won a playoff game with Baker Mayfield. He dragged this Browns team that had injuries left and right to the playoffs and like had them playing really great football. And of course, as the season gets on later, there is no mention by anyone that Simmons was hating on this guy and said he was a horrible coach. And now Simmons is like talking to Schrager. He's like, yes, Stefanski's Coach of the Year. What he did this year was incredible. It's like, he was kind of always this coach.
Ugh, I know. So classic Bill. Okay, so yeah. I want to give you credit for something here, because one of the best viral moments of the R. Bill Simmons podcast was when we discussed the terrible ad reads. Ooh. And so you have a couple, and this was in December. So I want to give you credit, because you have a couple tweets here about him being bad at ad reads. There's a couple here. So number one, from back in July, I screenshotted something and from the sub saying, underrated Simmons opinion that triggers you. And one of your ones was, he's quite possibly the worst ad reader ever. So I totally agree. And then this was even better, because what did I say? I said, this is my tweet. I said, the audacity of Bill Simmons bitching about sports leagues doing a money grab when he's in a FanDuel ad every 5 minutes and reads ads for podcasts he's never used in his life will never cease to amaze me. And then you had that 84 likes, people like that, 64 likes. Then you had this, which I loved. His Jersey Mike's ad really pisses me off. Not the cheese dripping, dude, right? Like, this guy is not eating Jersey Mike subs with buffalo cheese, extra buffalo sauce dripping. No fucking chance.
The ad reads, they're just like, as you said, like every 10 minutes on the podcast, he's doing another ad read. He'll go from talking about how Hilton Honors feels like joining Real Honors like you were in high school. It's like, what? Maybe, you know, I never made honors roll in high school, so maybe I don't know what it feels like. But, like, come on. And then 10 minutes later, he'll be like, Airbnb, do Airbnb. And then it's Jersey Mike's. I want the chicken and cheese dripping on me. And it's like, he's so bad at the ad read that, like, I find myself not even remembering, like, what he's pitching. Just more concerned of, like, did he make a script for that? Did he just shoot off the cuff? Like, cause I'm now confused. I don't really know what the ad read was about. And now I just have more questions than answers. And now it's like, all right, back to the podcast. He is so bad at reading ads. It's mind blowing.
It's terrible. And especially now that, yeah, he's got the same type of ad, the Airbnb versus Hilton. It's insane. So, okay, so that was a fun one, like that. And then another one, which is – so this is interesting. We haven't done too much of this discussion, but I'm curious because you have a view on this. So the context for this one is – so it's the Spider-Man – it's the Spider-Man meme with the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. And I said, Bill Simmons blasting Nepo babies Steve Belichick and Jack Collinsworth while employing, quote, nephew Kyle as a producer who routinely fucks up. And then this again, like 127 likes, people loved this. Somebody comments, how dare you, nephew Kyle is a saint. And then you commented, dude, come on, nephew Kyle sucks and seems like a loser. These last few pods, the audio has been shot to shit.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe have gone a little hard on that. That was, you know, I'm just not a fan.
That audio being bad that week.
The audio is oftentimes bad, right? Every time they'll like ask nephew Kyle to like weigh in on something, I'm just like, this guy just kind of seems like a frat bro who's never grown up. And like, you know, I was in a fraternity and those guys really kind of chat my ass about it. But yeah, he does this Nepo baby stuff, crying about Belichick hiring his sons. Although on his most recent pod, he said that he's actually heard from Gerard Mayo that Gerard Mayo really speaks highly of Belichick's sons, which now Simmons thinks those are, you know, very good hires. So, you know, go figure. But the nephew Kyle thing, it was like, I don't know if he was trying to kind of like recapture the cousin Sal thing with Jimmy Kimmel, like bringing on someone and kind of having that person who's in your family become a character in and of itself. Cousin Sal, in my opinion, is like funnier than Jimmy Kimmel. So that kind of made sense. Nephew Kyle, it's just like his whole shtick is, you know, he goes to the bar a lot and drinks and smokes cigarettes and like just got married. Like, okay. He doesn't really bring a lot to the table, in my opinion.
No, I've never gotten it, and I don't think a lot of people do. So,
yeah.
Okay, how about this? Let's do – I got one more for you, and then beyond that, if we need to do anything else, we can do it, or else we can wrap up. So this is fun. I've made a meme about this before years ago, and I remember this. You've mentioned it a couple times. Actually, do you want to guess? It was something Bill was doing with his son a few years ago, and he was talking about it a lot.
Was it the baseball cards or
yes, like
yeah.
Yes. So let me read one of the tweets and then I'll have you respond. This is you tweeted this at Bill. Can you please try and make it through one podcast without mentioning the fact that you and your son are really into collecting basketball cards and football cards?
Yeah. I mean, like, by all means, it's great to have, you know, hobbies that you can share with your kid or share with your dad. But, like, the whole time I was like, who is this for? Like, just the same way people hate hearing about, you know, your fantasy football team, right? Or, like, whatever trade you just made in fantasy football. Like, I can't think of anything more boring of hearing about somebody talk about the basketball and football cards that they just opened up with their son. And then he was like bringing on people on the pod to talk about like the rise of pop, the or the re-rise, the re-apex of sports trading cards. And it's just like, just because this is something that you are doing and it's a way for you to bond with your son does not mean it needs to make its way onto the podcast, because I can guarantee you if there's anybody that is interested in this, it is of a very, very, very small minority. But he doesn't care. This is the whole point. Like, he has carte blanche. He doesn't have an editor anymore, right? Like, I think good writers a lot of times need good editors to kind of reel them back in and keep them focused, where now Simmons, there's no one there to question him, right? He has complete autonomy. So it's like he's just a dog chasing his tail around, where if he sees something that, oh, I'm going to go talk about that. Or that my son and I just did this. Let's talk about this. And it's like, let's kind of focus on your bread and butter, what people are actually coming to hear you talk about, because it sure as shit isn't baseball cards.
Totally agree. And I always thought it was funny when those videos are going on and he's not even okay. Two things that are funny. One, he's not even allowing Ben to open the card. Yeah. He's wearing gloves and he's opening them. It's like, dude, that's like, that is not a fun way to open it. Having your dad do it with gloves on and preserving it. And then the second thing that I always thought was funny is like, he would take an Instagram picture and he'd be like laying on the couch and this like pack or this box of basketball cards have a sock on him or something.
Yeah.
It's like caption, oh, found this box of 1986 Fleer basketball cards just laying around the house. And then you go up and look up online what a box costs unopened, and it's $25,000. Dude, this wasn't fucking laying around your house. Like, you clearly bought the pack. You bought this for a sizable amount of money to open up. Yeah. Don't tell us that it was laying around.
No, there are times where he, and you've reposted this so many times, and each time it just kills me, of where he does the pod with House and Sal. And he's talking about how, you know, I have this chef come over and they prepare all this food for us for the week. And Sal's like, well, not everyone has a private chef. And he's like, no, it's not a private chef. And then he's like, well, sure as shit isn't a public chef. It's like, he is so he's unaware of him putting his foot in his own mouth sometimes when he's talking out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because sometimes he's okay or even likes to flaunt the wealth, but then other times he really doesn't want to. It's strange how that works, because Bill, like, I always compare it to, I've done a lot on the pod, like Bill versus Dave Portnoy, you know, love or hate Dave Portnoy. He's in your face bragging about fucking bitches and and living in mansions. Right. And it's all right, well, that's his brand. Okay. But Bill has this weird aura about him where sometimes he's okay with it, but then other times he gets really squealy about admitting that he's spending money. And it's like, bro, we fucking know you sold the company for $200 million. What are you doing here?
Right Exactly. And it's like, it comes out where he still just wants to, you know, I'm still the everyman, I'm still the sports guy. And it's like, no, you are the, I've got 8 houses in LA. And I haven't lived in Boston, you know, since the early 2000s, guy. And that's fine. But, like, own it. And that doesn't mean you've got to go full Portnoy and, like shove it in our faces every time, which, you know, I find Portnoy pretty entertaining, to be honest. But, like, it'd be weird if Simmons just, like, started doing that. That would be going a little too far. But you don't need to get all squirrely. Like, people can pretty easily find out, you know, what you're making and what you're worth.
And so maybe that's a good place to bring it all back around. I think there's two components to people like me and you being frustrated and annoyed with Simmons right now. Mm-hmm. Number one piece, obviously, is the fall off in quality. We get it. you sold your company for $200 million. You might not put in as much effort as you were before. We get it. But I think what really drives it home and why me and you were on this podcast talking for 90 minutes about Bill Simmons being washed up and why I've done, I forget even what I'm on. I think maybe this is episode 61 or something. I'll check. But I think what really does it for us is he doesn't own it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't own that he's a fucking NBA homer, that he barely cares about the other sports, that he's not doing his prep, that he's not an extreme homer. It's like, dude, you don't have to tell us you had a 5-week break and you did your NFL research. Because we know you fucking didn't. We know you didn't. Because you came back hot on these absurd takes, and you thought the Bills were going to miss the playoffs, the Ravens are going to miss the playoffs, the Steelers would be the one seed. So I think it's that dueling banjos. If it was one of them, if he wasn't owning his extreme homerism, but the quality was still good, fine. If the quality was terrible, but he's like, fuck it, like I made $200 million, what am I going to do? Whatever. But it's the combination of those two things that makes the long timers go, man, this is just different than I'm used to. And like you said at the beginning of the pod, I'm turning this off after 40 minutes because I've done a lot of that too. I turn off the pod after X amount of time and I won't listen to another pod for a while. So I think that's where we're at with Bill in 2024.
I agree. Although I am still holding out hope for a return to form, because there have been times, honestly, in the last month, specifically on some of these NBA pods where I'll listen to it the whole way through. I'll be like, you know what? That was pretty good. He brought it today. And I thought what he was talking about was pretty interesting. And I'm, you know, glad he's still the pod father. But those are getting fewer and fewer and far in between. So I hope, you know, to bring it back to Kobe, I hope he can, you know, still muster up a 60-point farewell. But we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, honest to God, man, I really appreciate what you're doing. The Twitter is awesome. The Reddit thread is awesome. This podcast has really been creeping up in my, you know, daily, monthly listen. So keep it up. You're doing the Lord's work, my dude.
Love it, man. Well, I really appreciate you hopping on. And I know I as I've been telling guests that I wanted it to be an hour, but I appreciate you going over with me because that was fun going back to some of your tweets. Anything else that you want to cover before we wrap it up?
The last thing, and it's only because you brought it up, where when he did the 5-week vacation and he came back with all of those bad takes, I went back and re-listened to that pod today in prep for this. Not only were the team takes bad, he said that Kenny Pickett has a little Joe Montana in him. Okay.
No, he did.
I swear to God, he made a Kenny Pickett Joe Montana comparison. And it's like, even at the time, I was like, that's blasphemous. And then after this season, it's really blasphemous. So the team takes were bad, but the Kenny Pickett to Joe Montana comparison will live on in infamy for me.
Damn, dude. If you have an approximate timestamp of that, let me know, because I'll clip that.
Yeah, I'll send that over to you.
God, that is beautiful. Oh my goodness.
I think incredible. That's a pretty good place to wrap up the pod, though, is on that note.
I think so. Well, man, yeah, like I said, hugely appreciate the time. This was a ton of fun. And look, I'll be seeing you around these Twitter streets. So I think I'm looking forward to keeping the conversation up. And if we get a few more months of Bill and his takes, maybe if you want, hop back on and we can see what Bill's cooking up in his if he's cooking, he's cooking like Russell Wilson probably with the Broncos these days.
Yeah, no, I would be more than happy to, man. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, yeah. So do you want to say follow you on Twitter? Because I can put it, in. Or do you really care?
I don't really care about that. You don't have to. You can like you know, post my at Twitter on the link or whatever, but you don't need to say like, give this guy a follow. Cause the only time I really tweet is if it's to you or commenting under Bill Simmons.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But I mean, hey, people do like that. I'm surprised he hasn't blocked you yet.
Yeah, I am too. You know, maybe he's actually being truthful and isn't reading his replies too much. Maybe you really got to him and that was enough for him.
That is interesting. Yeah. But yeah, man, hugely appreciate it. Thanks for the time. And yeah, unless you have any final words, I'll close it out here. And for the listeners, thanks for hanging around all this time and we'll see you guys soon.
Yeah, likewise, dude. I'll talk to you later. Take it easy.
All right, cheers.
Bye.